May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 902. Let him who thirsts for heavenly joys come unto me, the Saviour cries, and drink at my spring head. Leave all your boasting self behind, for from the Saviour you shall find a glorious life indeed. Hymn 902.
May that hymn we have just sung be the desire of each one of us as we gather here today. and them we will not worship in vain. Our reading from God's holy word this morning you'll find in the book of Acts in chapter 9. The book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? And came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests." But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But there laying a wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed." And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him 2 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. We'll leave the reading of God's holy word there. And may he help us and teach us each how to pray. O most holy, almighty, just, yet merciful Lord God, we come before thee at the start of this morning's service. We come before thee in our much felt weakness. Lord, we come. Each one of us, whether we know it or not, in complete dependence upon thee this day. Lord, we will give thanks for thy kindness and goodness and mercy unto us through another week of our short lives. We have been spared to come to the means of grace once again. We have been enabled to come and to worship. O Lord, do put in us that true spirit of worship. Do help each one of us now here to plead unto thee. To plead unto thee. For the power of the Holy Spirit to come into the courts this day, to fill this house, that none may go home empty, no, not one. For we stand here in much weakness. We stand here feeling our foolishness. And in our foolishness we beg, as we have that promise in thy word that that will come through the foolishness of preaching. So, may our poor, feeble attempts be filled with that power of the Holy Spirit, that each hard heart in this place will be softened. That those blind eyes may be opened. That those ears may be unblocked. That the seed sown this day may fall on good ground. O Lord, that is what we beg. That thou wilt come and prepare our hearts to receive thy word. For we have to prove day by day that in us that is in our flesh dwelleth no good thing, but our fullness is of thee. So may there be that desire in the hearts of each one, from the youngest to the oldest, for that crumb from the Master's table today. For even a crumb will be such a feast. So, Lord, that is what we beg, that souls will be fed this day. We know not how each one has come into thy house, but, Lord, thou knowest. Has there been that real prayer? Has there been that real desire to come and to worship? If not, cause them to realize that they are as dead as the wood of the seats that they sit upon. Cause them to realize their lost and ruined state by nature. Cause them to realize that they are lost. But Lord, we beg, those that gather feeling their lost state, feeling their need of a precious Savior, do come and apply that healing balm unto their hearts. that they may draw comfort, that they may know that that precious blood which was spilt was for them. Those who come, who have put on the open profession of faith, who may have been in the way many, many years, who feel their coldness, feel their hardness. Come, Lord, come to them. Feed them from thy word. May they draw from Bethlehem's well, for the well is deep, that they may be given that help to continue in the way, that they may rest harder, lean harder upon thee, as they walk further in the way and feel more and more of their wretchedness by nature. May they know that that is but the old man of grace, old man of sin, and may they know more of the new man of grace. Oh, there is that constant warfare in thy people, but may they have that comfort that underneath are the everlasting arms. We are so fickle and feeble. We are so prone to wander, so prone to stray. Left to ourselves, we love the things of the world. But Lord, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the sins of the world. Do deliver us from temptations. Do be with this cause and congregation here. Do bless them. Do increase them. Do give them more of that love one to another, that brotherly love. Grant unto them more of the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, that they may hold one another up in prayer. Remove those things which Satan will try and bring in to divide them. For Lord, wherever thy work is, the devil will never be far away, trying to spoil that precious fruit. Be with them here. May we see this pool opened once again, that sinners may be constrained to come and tell of that hope that they have through thy spilt blood, that precious hope by faith, and that there may be those still raised up. And we will give thanks for that mighty work that thou hast done in this place over recent years. Truly, we must praise thee for thy goodness and kindness. But there is still much to be done. There is still a great work. And all the while there is one soul left in this place. There is a work to be done. So, Lord, do work mightily. Work with that power that none can resist. Be with the deacons here in their many responsibilities. We know not the pathway they walk in, but we pray for them, that they may be given that strength, they may be given that wisdom, they may be given that guidance from thee. They may hold one another up in prayer, the burden of many souls before them. Give them that strength, give them that guidance, give them that help, not only in the choosing of the hymns week by week, but in the many responsibilities that fall upon them and upon the members of the church. To be with the children and the young people that gather here. Lord, thou hast blessed this place with many young ones. Lord, do keep them. Do work in their hearts while they are young in years. Do touch them. Keep them. May they understand a little of what is being said, Sabbath by Sabbath, that something may remain with them, that it may not all go over their heads, but something may remain. the young people as they go through their school life, those who may be reaching the end of their school life and know not which way to go. Help them to bring these things to Thee in prayer. Open those doors for them. Provide for them. Show them, Lord, the way that they are to walk in, that they may look back in years to come, as we do, and marvel at the hand of providence. Do be with them, help them. Provide for them those right partners in life's journey. Lord, guide them in these things, that there may be another generation raised up to serve in this place, to worship in this place. Be with those in the midst of life, bearing the heat and burden of the day, troubled and tried and bowed down with many cares of the natural right cares. But may they cast these things aside for a season, that they may come into Thy courts and worship. We know what it is like to have those things of the past week laying heavily upon us, those things of the coming week which may trouble us and be a burden unto us. Help us to leave them at the chapel door and to come in and to worship. Be with those that are older in years, feeling the weakness, feeling the increasing infirmities, feeling the health failing, feeling that their days must and are drawing to a close. May it be a solemn reminder unto them and unto us each, that we know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. We pray for Thy servants up and down this land that preach the gospel, not in this land only, but in the lands throughout the world. We would remember Thy persecuted church, those who will meet for worship today, knowing that it may be their last time. Oh Lord, what faith they have. Where would we be if persecution returned once again upon this land? Oh Lord, give us greater faith. Help us to pray for those in other lands who have so little where we have so much naturally. But Lord, in this land, how little we have spiritually. We have forsaken Thy ways, our nation has departed from Thy law, from Thy commands, from the guidance contained in Thy holy word. And yet we come to this juncture in this nation's history. Before long we will have to cast those votes to elect those members of parliament to represent us. We beg, raise up those right men and women to form a majority. A majority that fear Thy name. O Lord, we filled with unbelief even praying these things, but Thou canst work. Thou canst turn the hearts of men and women in a moment. And we beg that this land and nation will be turned once more, for we are ripe for Thy judgment. Yet in wrath remember mercy. And may we not forget to praise Thee that we still have our liberties, that we can still come and worship in peace and in freedom. May we not take these things for granted, but thank Thee for them. To be with the cause at Heathfield that we leave this day. Be with one expected this morning. And Thine aged servant, Mr. Cornford, this afternoon. Help him and do bless their gathering there. My family that I have left behind, do help them here. But Lord, we come. We come now. Pleading, begging, seeking, Lord, that Thou wilt bless our worship this day. We are weak. We are poor, we are feeble, we are insufficient. Do completely empty us, Lord, that we may be filled of thee. Pour in that we may be able to pour out unto the friends here, that they may not meet in vain, that souls will be touched, that the words that come from my mouth will not be but words, but will come with power right into the hearts of one or another. Lord, we beg it, Lord, for we know that we are foolish and weak, but we know, we trust, we lean hard upon thee for all needed help. But help is needed in the pew just as much. So we pray that help will be granted there also. Help to understand thy word. Help to walk out thy commands. Help to walk in thy ways. Lord, help me. Do forgive, Lord, anything that I may have asked amiss. Those things in my weakness which I have forgotten to pray for, may they have been prayed for in the pew. May our prayers unite as one. May they leave this house in as one. May they ascend on high. Lord, do intercede for us, that our prayers may be acceptable on high, that our prayers may be answered this day, that none may go home empty. For our days are short. Time is swiftly passing on. So we beg, help us each this day. We ask these things in the name of a precious Lord and Saviour. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 984. Hark how the gospel trumpet sounds. Christ and free grace therein abounds. Free grace to such as sinners be. And if free grace, why not for me? Hymn 984.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the Lord, both in preaching and in hearing. The text that has been upon my mind to bring before you this morning, you'll find in the chapter that we have read, Acts chapter 9 and verse 17. Acts chapter 9 and verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. But friends, really it has been these two words in the middle of this verse that have rested upon me. Brother Saul. Brother Saul. You all, I am sure, well know this account. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. We have Saul here. He had sought those letters to come into Damascus with one purpose in mind, to persecute, to capture, to bind those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came thinking he was doing right in the eyes of God. He came down that road with those intentions to harm, to capture, to destroy the work and the furtherance of the gospel. That was his intent. And we have those accounts in previous chapters of those many things he did. He was a very holy man in his own eyes. He did that which he thought was right. He followed the law to the letter as close as he could. But he was blind. Blind in and of himself. And yet, God had ordained before the beginning of time that on that day, on that road, as he went to Damascus to persecute the Lord's people, the Lord would meet with him there. We have that account That great light shone from heaven. That great light came down. And he fell under it, did he not? He fell into the dust. He fell, knowing that he wasn't right in the eyes of a holy God. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" How have you each come into the house of God today? Are you kicking against the pricks? Do you have that in your conscience? Do you know that you are not right in the eyes of a holy God? Or are you hard and unconcerned, not troubled by these things? Does it mean nothing to you? Well, if it means nothing to you this morning, we must try and pray for you, that you will realize that you are fallen, that you are weak, that you are helpless, that you are lost, and that you may realize that you are kicking against the pricks, and that you may be brought to that point of trembling and astonishment where you will have to say, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" So we have this account. He had to go blind. He had to go led by those two men that were with him into the city. Now, you children here, many that are gathered, and we are thankful for it. Can you imagine what it must have been for this man? He had lost his sight, he was blind, he couldn't see where he was going, and he was led into this city. This city where he had gone to persecute people. He didn't know where he was. What fear must have been in his heart. He was led into that house, wasn't he? Saul arose from the earth, and they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. He was so filled with terror, we believe. He could not see, he could not eat nor drink. And he must have thought, "What will these people do to me that I have tried to persecute?" What it must be to lose our sight. We do much wrong with our eyes, don't we? We look at that which we should not. Our eyes are a direct route into our heart, and how often they cause us to sin. But what a blessed thing it is if our spiritual eyes can be opened. May that be the desire in the hearts of each one of us here today. But it was God's appointed time. The Lord appeared to Ananias in a vision. Ananias, and he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus." And we have those precious words after that in verse 11. "For behold, he prayeth." Behold, he prayeth. Have you come praying this morning? Are you, Saul, here, lost, blind, knowing that you are not right in the eyes of a holy God? Are you praying? For behold, he prayeth. You may say, I've been praying for many years. Pray on. Pray on. We come before a God who hears and answers prayer. We come before one who has the power to answer that prayer. And we have those lines in that hymn, if I can quote it correctly, the devil hates to see the weakest saint upon his knees. Why? Because there is such power in prayer. So pray on, friends, that the time of deliverance may come to you where you can put your faith in a precious Lord and Saviour, that you may say he is mine, that he came for you. For where else can we go? Where else can we go? We have that account in Luke chapter 10 of that lawyer, don't we? Behold, a certain lawyer stood up in verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Is that your desire, to inherit eternal life? Be in no doubt. There is an eternity stretching before each one of us. We know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. We have had those solemn events of the past few days, that terrorist attack in London. Those people went to work that day or about their duties, thinking they would come home again. Two of them didn't. They are now in a never-ending eternity. We know nothing of them. But we know that a never-ending eternity stretches before each one of us. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, this lawyer was tempting, wasn't he? Tempting the Lord, or trying, or testing the Lord. And what were the words of the Lord? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. Well, that is one way. Have you tried that way? Have you loved the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind? Even for 1 minute of your short lives? No. We cannot, because we are poor, weak, sinful creatures, and sin is mixed with all we do, and we cannot, for we are fallen from the beginning of time. We are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So we cannot love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbour as thyself. Those that persecute thee, those that are unkind to you, those that may be unkind to you in your school lives or at college or in your employment, we are taught to love them. With all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. We cannot, my friends. We cannot. So what are we to do? We are to look to one that has gone before. We are to look to one that is made right. That has borne the curse. Borne our sins. Carried it for us. It is a precious doctrine, the doctrine of justification. We cannot keep ourselves for 1 minute, but one has gone before to make us right in the sight of a holy, just God. That word justification can be a hard word to understand to any of us, but in pondering it over the last few days, I remembered the words of dear Mr. Wood and how he used to explain it. Justification, to be justified. It is just if I had never sinned. Because one has borne that curse, one has carried those sins, one has removed that guilt from us. Well, is that our desire, that we may know a little of that? Is that our desire? My thoughts, and I have the bookmark in it, for this service today, went to that verse in Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. This is the prophecy of Isaiah. This is the prophecy of Christ. The prophecy of one that came, that did the work for us, so that we did not have to comply with that law. The power of the gospel. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Now there is no such thing as chance. The dear deacon here, by the power of the Holy Spirit, felt led to give that hymn out, did he not, this morning? Let him who thirsts for heavenly joys come unto me, the Saviour cries, and drink at my spring head. Leave all your boasting self behind, for from the Saviour you shall find a glorious life indeed. I come. Is this you? Can you come in with this verse? I come, O Lord, and thirst for thee. Some living water give to me, or I shall faint and die. All other means my heart has tried, all other streams are vain beside what flows from Calvary. My friends, you can try. You can try as hard as you want. You can get to the start of another week. We are nearly at the start of another year, the start of another decade, and you will come and you will think, I won't do that anymore. I will cease from that sin. I will turn. And you will have to prove, with the hymn writer here, all other means my heart has tried, all other streams are vain beside what flows from Calvary. I long to taste the purple flood and feel the virtue of thy blood and gaze and tarry here. So shall I sweetly sing and pray and serve thee kindly every day without a guilty fear. It is a precious hymn. Can you enter into it? Have you tried the vanities of this world? Have you tried for the pleasures of the world? I have. They are vain. They are foolish. Believe you me, it is not an easy thing to stand here and to try and preach these things. But I have tried to make myself righteous. I have tried to better myself. And we should try. But we have to come. We have to come and fall before a holy, just, heart-searching God, knowing that we are not right, knowing that we will never be right. Come to that point to seek a precious God. Oh, seek on, friends, for we have those promises. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek on. Seek on. My thoughts earlier in the week went to that hymn 144. I think it is. Christ the way. Jesus, my all to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. It's a narrow way. It is a narrow way. The way the holy prophets went, the road that leads from banishment, the king's highway of holiness, I'll go, for all his paths are peace. But is this you this morning? This is the way I long have sought, and mourn because I found it not. My grief, my burden long has been, because I could not cease from sin. The more I strove against its power, I sinned and stumbled but the more. Till late, I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. Well, we return to our text. That is where Saul was brought. He had nowhere else to go. He was physically blind. He was helpless. He realized his fallen state. Yet the Lord in his mercy came. He came in a vision to that man, Ananias. And Ananias came right into his pathway, came right where he was, and set, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, is that you this morning? Brother Saul, Sister Saul, or may you feel those hands put on you. May you feel the power of the Holy Spirit entering into you. We will never have that great power that the Apostle Paul had. For these are different times. But if we know a little of that power, oh, what a blessed thing it will be unto us. What a blessed thing it will be. But do you feel too unworthy? Do you feel insufficient for these things? So you should. Because we cannot come of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of one that has gone before. Our sufficiency is of Christ. And we have it in 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. In verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This is free and sovereign grace, my friends. It is free. There is nothing for you to do, but come humbly, by faith, to a precious God. Once again, the deacon here was led to give out that middle hymn. Hark how the gospel trumpet sounds, Christ and free grace therein abounds. Free grace to such as sinners be, and if free grace, why not for me? The Saviour died, and by his blood brought rebel sinners near to God. He died to set the captives free. And why, my soul? Why not for thee? Well, answer me. Why not for you? Do you feel the burden of your sins? Do you feel your lost state? This gospel is for you. It is not for the righteous. Jesus came the poor to bless, to clothe them with his righteousness. The robe is spotless, full and free. And why, my soul, why not for thee? Why not for thee? It was good enough for Saul. One who came, who did much harm, who persecuted those of Christ. It was good enough for him. It is good enough for all who truly feel their lost and ruined state, who truly feel that they can do no good, and who truly and humbly feel their sinfulness and repent of it. Oh, you may say my sins are too great. You don't know how bad I am. It is true, I don't. And I'm thankful to say you don't know how bad I am either. It's not a competition. If we have created the smallest sin, if we have not loved the Lord God, as we read in Luke, with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and our neighbours, if we were to do that for all our lives and were to fail for 1 second, we are not made righteous. There is one way and one way only for poor sinners, and that is in the righteousness of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But you come with doubts and fears, don't you? You come with doubts and fears. How can I come? The Lord will come to you. The Lord will come to you. You will feel that drawing power. And even now, I know not how you have come into the house of God this morning. At the start of this year, would I have ever imagined to be standing in this place this morning? No. But I am here. I am here. And may I be an Ananias to one and another, to lay my hands upon you and say, Brother Saul, or Sister Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, and you have come in this morning, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, you may say, I'm not strong enough. How can I possibly come? You can't, my friends, in your own strength. I can't stand up here in my own strength. I have to lean hard, hard upon an almighty God and prove that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All things, even stand up here, a man of few words, and preach these unsearchable riches. But they will be but words unless they are applied unto you. They will be but words unless they are applied unto you. And I cannot apply them. They will be applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I feel there is that power here this morning. Those hymns that have been chosen this morning, they are not by chance, friends. I chose my text. The deacon here chose those hymns. We have had to prove, being a deacon before, how blessed it is when those hymns come in with the text. It is not always the case, but when it is, there is a reason for it. There is a reason for it. Eternal life by Christ is given, and ruined rebels raised to heaven. Then sing of grace so rich and free, and say, my soul, why not for thee? Why not, my friends? Why not? Why not? You cannot come in your own strength. But if you truly feel the burden of your sins, if you truly feel your fallen state, then look to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, it has struck me recently, over recent weeks, months, the last few months, the order of this. And I fear there are many that do not come and put their trust upon the Lord, because they are coming the wrong way around. This text says, and these are the words, these are not the words of the prophet, but these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It doesn't say you must have rest, then you can come unto me. No. It says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, that is labouring under your sins, labouring under your fallen state. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is in that coming by faith, that you will be given that rest. And what is that rest? That is the comfort and the knowledge that Saul had here. That is the comfort and the knowledge that those words spoken were for you. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But we look at the next verse, verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. Well, I know a few in the church here and I know what their longing and their desire is. It is the same as my longing and desire here, that each and every one of you in this house this morning, this day, will come and know and put your trust in a precious God. Because we cannot put our trust in ourselves, we are foolish. Put your trust in one that has gone before, in a holy God. Receive your sight. If by the power of the Holy Spirit you have received your sight, you must come. You must come. It is a command. Well, do I hear some of you in the congregation say, baptism isn't saving? You are quite right. But if you know a little of the love, a little of your fallen state, a little of your wretchedness, a little of the sufferings of Christ, and you cannot come and put on that open profession. You cannot cast away those fears. You cannot rest them upon a precious Saviour. Well, it is a command from the mouth of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ to follow in his ways. You may say to me, well, what about the dying thief? He wasn't baptized. You are quite right, he wasn't. But I know one thing for certain. That dying thief was nailed to a cross. He couldn't take himself down from that cross. But if he could, he would have followed in those ways. Why? Because he knew precious Saviour. Never forget, dear friends, there were two that hung on the cross, either side of our Lord. There were two. Do you want to leave it to your last days? Do you want to be filled with that doubt? Do What a solemn thing it would be to be brought to our end, be brought to our deathbed with regrets. Regrets that when the power of the Holy Spirit had begun in us, we didn't follow after a precious Saviour. There were two on that cross. Do not leave these things until your dying day. Because what if, you are lost? But we have one that has gone before. We have one who is in heaven now, at the right hand of God the Father, looking down upon us now, knowing the thoughts of each and every one of you, knowing how you have come into the courts this morning, knowing your fears, knowing your desires. And our desire is that this word may have come with power to one and another here. If it has, it is not of me. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit, and praise God for it. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, Brother Saul." Brother Saul. Do you have a love and a longing for the Lord's people? They will not judge you. They are no better than you. Just because they are church members or deacons or ministers, they are no better than you. They know where you have been. They have been where you have been. They may have been in darker places than you. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Well, Brother Saul, or Sister Saul, has this sermon meant anything to you this morning? The Lord knows. The Lord knows. May that Ananias come into your pathway, right where you are. May you feel those hands laid upon you. May you receive that sight. Put your faith in a holy God, a loving God, a merciful God, and hear the words, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, Brother Saul." Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £710, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Cottingham will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Barker. Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. There'll be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening. And there will be reading services next Lord's Day. And the collection next Lord's Day will be for our Needy Cases Fund. and all according to the Lord's will. The Sunday school today will be at Andy and Beck's at Greenside Close. Let us close with hymn 123. Blood has a voice to pierce the skies. Revenge, the blood of Abel cries. But the dear stream, when Christ was slain, speaks peace as loud from every vein. Hymn 123.
Do forgive anything that thou hast sin amiss in our worship this morning. Anything that has been of thee, may it come with power. May it have come with power, and may it abide in the hearts of one another. Do keep us now between this morning and this evening's service. Do keep our conversation. Keep us looking unto thee, and do appear for each one of us. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Rest, remain, and abide with us each. Amen.